Happy welcome, happy Pentecost. What a joy.
I wanted to introduce to you Seminarian John over here. Stand up, Seminarian John.
He'll be with us this summer. We're very happy to have you. And it's going to be great. He got here yesterday morning, and I said, well, let's go. And so we went to a graduation party, had a wedding, a baptism, and evening stuff here, and then 3 hours at the cathedral with the Pentecost vigil there, and then went to a wedding reception, and it was about midnight, and I said, John, take the rest of the night off. And anyway, a good first day. It's going to be great. We're going to love having you. And today is Seminarian Lance's birthday, so if you have his number, shoot him a little text and say happy birthday to you. And in any event, Pentecost. This is such a happy celebration. It is one of the three most important feast days of the entire year. And as I like to do on special occasions, to have Mass on the glorious high altar. And look at the Holy Spirit, by the way, right at the top. Praise God. This is a huge deal. Just like Christmas, Jesus is born, but it's not like a once and done thing. Like, he's still with us. He was born at Bethlehem. He's in a house of bread. He's in every tabernacle. Just like at Easter, it's not just one thing that Jesus did, like he rose from the dead, like as a one-time event. He says, I am the resurrection. Same with Pentecost. Pentecost is not a once and done, like God, Jesus, like sending down the Spirit and then it's over. No, there is a continuous sending down of the Holy Spirit. There's an ongoing outpouring that is taking place. The Lord Jesus, and 10 days ago at Ascension, which is painted right here, he goes, it's better that I'm going. It's better that I'm going because I'm going to go up there, and then what you're not going to believe what's going to happen. I'm going to send down the power and the love of heaven to every nook and cranny of the whole world. More than that, I'm going to start a thing called the Holy Catholic Church. So today is the feast, the happy birthday of our Holy Church. And he says it's better because now the presence of God, he goes, when I'm just like standing right here, I can be in one place. Just like Father Mike, I can only be here when I cannot be in Timbuktu right now, cannot be in Guatemala, I can be in one place. Jesus, same thing. He was in Galilee, or he was in Nazareth, or he was in Jerusalem, wherever he was in one place. But he says, well, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to send down all the power of heaven, all the love of heaven, and this is going to descend upon you. And what we're celebrating today is not a what, but a who. The third person of the Most Holy Trinity, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just a power or a force. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And this is who we're celebrating today. And the fact is that he is still pouring himself out to us constantly. And I want to just tell you three words that'll change your life if you pray them a lot and you pray them with your heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he brings you all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all the fruits. Now, what are the gifts? Let's look in our Bibles. Everybody pull out your Bible. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Who is him? The Messiah. You and I are in him. We're in Jesus because we're baptized. Okay? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. There's seven. And you scratch your head and you say, Father Mike, you said fear of the Lord twice. Because the English your Bible probably reads similarly. But the first fear of the Lord is a different word in the Hebrew. And it means piety of the Lord. The godliness of the Lord. Okay? And so seven gifts right here. Now, what do they mean? Let's have a refresher course. Let's start with knowledge. Knowledge. I found this in the schoolhouse. at St. Vincent. It's a one-way sign, okay? When you see a sign like this on the road, you know that that metal thing on a stick that says one way is a sign that means that you should go one way. You shouldn't go the other way. This is knowledge. But knowledge of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about things of God. The commandments, the precepts, the Bible. Even the second reading today, the first line said, you can't even say that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Knowledge. We have to have this knowledge. And knowledge of the things of God. This is why we have a Catholic school. This is why we have Catholic catechismo. We have catechism classes to help parents in their duty and obligation as the first catechists, the first ones to put knowledge in the heads of their children. One of the funny things, though, is that a lot of times it even works the other way. Your kids put knowledge of the faith in your brain, of their parents and their God and their grandparents. And it's just a beautiful thing to see. Sometimes God will even infuse knowledge, like St. Catherine of Siena. She was illiterate until the Holy Spirit just gave her the ability to read and write so that she could write the Pope and say write the Pope and tell him to move out of France and back to Rome. St. Joseph Cupertino. He was about to not make it to the priesthood until the Holy Spirit just gave him a piece of knowledge that was on his exam. This is what happens, okay? But knowledge of the things of God, we have to know our faith. We have to know it. For example, the second commandment. Let's just pick a random thing. The second commandment, do not say the name of the Lord your God in vain. We have to know the commandment. We should know that it's number two. We should know that it's a commandment. The next gift of the Holy Spirit is understanding. And that means, how am I supposed to live accordingly? So you see this sign and you know what it means. I go one way. I don't go the other way. But understanding is, now I have to drive accordingly. I have to live accordingly. I should follow this sign. And the gift of understanding is, how can I... what I know in my about the faith, the articles of faith, how do I translate them into my life? The Old Testament, how often God says this people is so stiff-necked. Why? Because they know stuff up here, but they're not doing it with their bodies and their life. And the gift of understanding is what helps us to say, okay, I know the second commandment is to not say God's name in vain. So that means that a lot of times when you have new converts or something, you know, it could be a hard habit to break. Or when people are working with other people who say God's name in vain a lot, or at school with people who say God's name in vain a lot. And it's one of those things, it's like, okay, Lord, give me this gift so that I can live according to this thing that I know. Okay, that's understanding. Piety is to say, God, you're so good that you give us these signs. Because how much of the Old Testament, the Psalms, the majority of the Psalms are praising God that He gives us signposts. He gives us rules by which to live. He gives us commandments. Thank you, God. Because how crazy would the road system be if there weren't signs like this out there? You know? And that's the same with this world. Like, the Lord gives us these things, and piety is to say, thank you, God, for this article of faith. Maybe it's an article of faith you don't like. Or you think you don't like. But you say, thank you, God. Help me love it. Help me love this teaching of Holy Church. Help me love this teaching that I read in the Scriptures. Help me to know it, to live accordingly, but to love it. Piety is to say, God, I want to be full of love for you and your ways. All right? Your signposts. Now, counsel, folks. Counsel is when you have one sign going one way, but maybe you have a different sign going a different way. Sometimes it's easy to know. If one is a sin and the other isn't, then you know I shouldn't go down the way of the sin. But sometimes you might have two signposts and both of them look pretty good and you don't know what to do. So you say, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, guide me. You take the wheel. The Holy Spirit is like the best Uber driver ever, and you don't even have to pay him. He just drives you where he wants you to go. You just surrender. You say, God, whatever you want, whatever you want, and help me to know here, you know? And so counsel, boy, is that a good one. That's to say, like, again, the second commandment. Let's go back to that one. I could watch this movie that I know is filled with filth, bad language, profanity, God's name in vain, and a whole bunch of other film. I could watch it. Or I could avoid this movie that offends God in a million ways. Hello, counsel would say, don't watch it. Don't watch it. Counsel is so important. The next gift, fear of the Lord. That we should want to go the way God says. Not only because we don't want to go to hell, well, there is that, but there's also the fact that we don't want to offend our beautiful Lord. Mother Angelica would cry every time she heard somebody say God's name in vain. She would weep. That's fear of the Lord. To say, St. Dominic Savio, when he was 8 years old, he promised God, no matter what, I will never commit a mortal sin. By your help, I will never commit a mortal sin. This is the Holy Spirit. It takes courage. That's the next one. Courage. Let's say you got this sign. You know what it means. You're trying to live accordingly. You're going the right way. All these other things. But it's hard because maybe everybody else is going the opposite way. High schoolers who are graduating, congratulations. You're going to go to college, and you're going to live on a floor of a dorm where nobody else is going to go to Sunday Mass. And you're going to wake up, because you're going to be up late night studying, of course, and you're going to, on Sunday morning, and you're going to go, gosh, I could do the right thing. Or I could not. And it's like, well, our people are going to think I'm weird if I go to church. Or courage. Courage. Even if everybody else is going the wrong way, we go the right way. Because this is, and it's not possible without the Holy Spirit. So when you're thinking, gosh, that's too hard, you say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, help me with this. There's a priest friend of mine. We were both helping out at an Oldenburg Academy retreat a year ago. And he gave a talk on one day, and I was there the next day. And I'd given a talk, and he came back, and he said, could I just have a few moments? And he says, okay. And he goes, yesterday I was here, and when we were done with the talk, and everybody was walking over to lunch, and I was walking with you, I overheard somebody say God's name in vain, and I didn't correct you. I don't need to know who it is, he said, but I need you to know that you have a mortal sin on your soul, and that you need to go to confession. And I should have corrected you yesterday, but I drove all the way back here because it kept me up last night. That is fear of the Lord and courage. Folks, this is so great. Okay, and then the last one is wisdom. Wisdom is to say, I know what is important for eternity and what is not, and I'm going to structure my life accordingly. You want to spend time in the gym lifting weights? Great. But you should spend at least as much time praying, reading the Bible, being at church. Okay? These are the things. Wisdom is to say, I know what is of eternal consequence and what is not, and I'm going to structure my life accordingly. Now, gosh, I'm so excited. Okay, but listen, the spirit of the fruits that come from all of this, the fruits that come from knowing the faith, from understanding and living accordingly, from choosing the right way, from invoking the courage and the strength of the Most High God, the joy that comes from all this, the fruits that come, listen to this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So a good way to check your life, to check your Catholicism, to check your, am I living a spirited life? When was the last time somebody looked at you and said, why are you so happy? The apostles, when they were in the upper room, and received the Holy Spirit at the first Pentecost, at the first time, they had fire on their heads, but even more in their hearts, and people thought that they were drunk. They were so happy. They were filled not with wine, but with the Holy Spirit. When was the last time somebody looked at you and said, "Why are you so peaceful all of the time?" I'll tell you why. Because you're plugged into the Holy Spirit. You're open to this ongoing outpouring of the power and the love and the peace of the Holy Spirit. Our job, folks, is just to open it up. To be open to these gifts. Because here's the thing. These fruits come from them. And it's like for us, every day is Christmas, because we have all these gifts under the tree every single day, and all we have to do is open them anew every day, and then we get even more joy, and even more love, and even more peace, and even more patience, and even more kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's the best! Don't you see? The spouse of the Holy Spirit is Mother Mary, because the Holy Spirit conceived in her. So one of the best ways to grow devotion and life in the Holy Spirit is to be close with Mother Mary. She who is so beautiful. She who gave birth to our Lord. And the Holy Spirit who made that happen. Just as the Holy Spirit at the epiclesis of this Holy Mass on this glorious high altar is going to bring about the change of bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. Folks, the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, wants to come into us in a new way. Every, not just today, every day. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.